Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Hakun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And with me, as always, our senior staff writer, Ryan Whitfield, and senior staff writer, Joey Alibro. Happy New Year, everyone. We took a two-week hiatus for the holidays, but we're back. Ryan, Joey, how you guys doing?
Doing great. I hope you enjoyed your holiday. I was able to come home for a few days, see the family, but
nice.
I'm glad to be back at school.
Okay, that was only partially believable. And I think, Ryan, I hear you traveling in the background. Is that you?
Oh, yeah, it's me. Back in the car for the first time in a couple months on a podcast. So, but I am happy to be here to represent the only person in this podcast where this team's still in the fight. So,
wow.
I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
Yeah, I knew that was coming at some point. I just didn't know you were going to bring it up right away. But thanks for taking the shot. I have been harassed by Eagles fans all week, honestly. And you know what? I have come to – and this is why, folks, that we're doing this on a Thursday. I have come to accept the fact that this is probably what's best for the Bears in the long run. We have a good lineup, and I can make it past into the next season without having a complete breakdown. And all I can say is this weekend, go Saints, destroy the heck out of those Eagles. That's all I want.
All I want to say before we move on from it is, to the Bears fans who were sending, hateful messages to Cody Parkey, waited to show what a moron you are, because if you think that's the reason the Bears lost the game, they shouldn't have been in that situation either way. But I will say, with that said, I have never, from body language before, seen a kicker so visibly shook before a kick in my entire life. You could see the breath. He was inhaling for, I think, 20 seconds at a time. I've never seen somebody look so stiff and nervous before a kick before. And so I know it was Tim, but regardless, it was the most predictable thing that thing was not going through when you saw Cody Parkey line up for the second kick there.
Yeah, double doink made it particularly painful to watch, and of course the icing the kicker did too. I was as angry as any other Bears fan, but I will agree with the fact that we shouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. And I'm not going to say Nick Foles is magic. He was not magic. He did not win that game for them.
Disagree.
But, kudos to the Eagles. Yep. All right, so I will go ahead, and so just so I can move on from this really horrible flashback I'm having to last Sunday, and then my horrible flashback to the even previous weekend when Notre Dame got blown out by Clemson, but thankfully they blew out Alabama a little bit more, so I can feel a little bit better about that. But that being said, I'm going to move on from the holidays now, and I'm going to move on to today and what we have to cover, because we got a lot of stuff that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be discussing all the new coaching hires so far, and they've been six so far, and a seventh in just basically in the horizon. It could be done by the time we finish this podcast. And we're going to talk about our favorite matchups for the upcoming divisional playoffs and DFS strategy for DraftKings, FanDuel, all those other DFS sites. So with all that, let's get started. All right, guys, we got those NFL coaches lining up, and they are really filling up fast. This is actually quite quick. They weren't wasting any time. They're all the slots are starting to get filled up. So I'm going to go through each one of these, and I want to get a thought from both of you guys, good, bad, or ugly. Do you think this is a good move? Do you think this is a bad move? Do you think this is going to completely implode on them? What are your quick two-second thoughts on these? Because we don't know. We don't know what their lineups are going to look up next year. We don't know how they're going to control their draft. We don't know entirely how all the assistants will fall out. But just your gut reaction on these new coaching hires. How do you feel about it? Let's start with the Arizona Cardinals. They hired USC's offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury, but he was only the UFC's offensive coordinator for a cup of coffee. He basically came off a firing from Texas. Texas Tech, and he wasn't really amazing there. He basically was 50% as far as his win record there, but he did coach up Patrick Mahomes, and people give him a lot of credit for that. So let me start with you, Joey, first. What do you think about this hiring of the Arizona Cardinals of Cliff Kingsbury?
I think the thought process behind it is actually really solid. They finally got rid of Steve Wilkes. They're bringing in a guy with a lot of experience in terms of building a dominant offense. Since taking over as offensive coordinator in his college career in 2011, his teams have averaged 550 yards and 42 points a game, which is just incredible. That he was in the Big 10 or Big 12 or whatever, but that is just incredible numbers there. You mentioned that he got fired from Texas Tech. He only had a 35-40 record there. So he's a rare breed where a coach didn't have all that much success in college, but he's moving up to the NFL ranks. You mentioned he coached up Patrick Mahomes, who's having an MVP caliber season. We've talked about that several times, but he also, I think he found Baker Mayfield before he transferred out of there. He also coached Manziel when he was the O coordinator in Texas A&M. Also Case Keenum, current Denver Broncos quarterback. So he has a lot of experience coaching quarterbacks, and I think he's going to do wonders for Josh Rosen.
Okay. All right. So what are your thoughts here, Ryan? What do you think about Cliff Kingsbury to the Arizona Cardinals as their new head coach?
Nice. That's a cute resume. If Patrick Mahomes had been Patrick Mahomes under Cliff Kingsbury, he wouldn't have gone where he went, and he wouldn't have been in a situation where he needed Andy Reid, the real QB whisperer, to actually get something out of him. So, you know, this thing is, and it's on both ends, because you'll find out through this that, surprisingly, Mr. Optimism over here hates pretty much every single coaching hiring so far.
Right.
But
that's surprising.
This idea of going to one end or the other with offense or defensive guys, like the formula in the NFL has always been, there's all these rumors and misconceptions. It's about balance. And it's the same thing with coaching. You need a balanced coach who can control both sides, that doesn't need to call all the plays. And, you know, and to this point, I know we've all dubbed Sean McVay a success. They did get knocked out of the playoffs early last year. I wouldn't be surprised if they get knocked out this weekend. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to lose an Arrowhead again this weekend to a more balanced team in the Colts, not to spoil alert, you know, my thoughts on that game. But, like, this idea about, you know, we're all so gung-ho in the offenses again, as if we haven't watched this movie over and over again. The 2007 Patriots, the 2011 Patriots, the 2013 Broncos, who got their rear end smashed in the first 5 minutes of that Super Bowl in New York. Balanced teams still win. Last week, I believe, I don't have it in front of me, but the highest point total was 23 points because it's playoff football again, and it's cute, all these little offensive plays, but Andy Reid's never won anything, and so that's great. Go in and get an offensive guy. Rosen will have a bump in fantasy. They'll be a better team than they were because Steve Wilkes was about as dumb as you can get in a hiring, so they couldn't have gotten worse. So they'll have a bump, but overall, will he be successful there? No, I don't care how many quarterbacks he's coached. You know, Manziel was a bust. Again, Mahomes wasn't really Mahomes. There was a lot of question marks about him, and the whole reason he went where he went was because he was a raw, underdeveloped talent who happened to go to the guy who really does breed life into quarterbacks, even though he can't manage a game clock. So, you know, again, overall, will the Cardinals be better? Yep. If you have David Johnson and you held on to him all this year, you'll be pumped. Mm-hmm. But overall, is it a huge win for the franchise? No.
Interesting. All right. Well, so we got some questions there, and we'll see how that turns out. That's probably too early to predict, but not surprisingly, Ryan doesn't like it. Joey does. Let's move on to the next team, Cleveland Browns, hiring their interim offensive coordinator, Freddie Kitchens. Surprisingly, in some ways, because they got rid of their last interim coach, who actually did quite a good job with Baker Mayfield. But, of course, Baker Mayfield really is Freddie Kitchens is actually credited with Baker Mayfield's kind of breakout. So, you know, that's not totally surprising. And just to throw out a couple numbers there, under Haley earlier in the season, 6 games, 58.3% completion percentage. Under Kitchens, 68.44% completion percentage. And as far as TDs per game, we went from 1.3 to 2.4, almost doubling that. And his QB rating from 78 to 106. So doing a really good job there, and they decided to reward him with the hiring. Joey, what do you think? Freddie Kitchens, Cleveland Browns.
Before I get to Kitchens, I just want to respond to Ryan. I don't disagree with him. I don't disagree with him at all. I just think that this league is a copycat league, and they've seen the success of McVay and a young quarterback in Goff and what Wentz has done, obviously, in Philly, and that's just the trend that's going. I don't necessarily think that all these guys are going to have success, but when we go down this list, we're going to see everybody has an offensive background except for when we get to Fangio.
Right.
And most of them are pretty young guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thought on that. In terms of Kitchens, I don't really have a solid background on his history, but you talked about taking over Todd Haley's job. The Browns' offense looked really good. The team went on a little tear there. He seems to have a good relationship with players, just seeing all those videos that the Browns are posting. The only positive for the hire, really, is that it wasn't Mike McCarthy. We saw those rumors a little bit, and
yep.
I'm just glad for Browns fans' sake that it wasn't him.
Okay. All right, Ryan, what are your thoughts on Freddie Kitchens as the Cleveland Browns' new head coach?
Yeah, so as Joey alluded to, it's a little bit more of a off-the-radar hire or, you know, a little less of a touted name, which I actually think is a good thing because I think John Dorsey's done a good job kind of turning that franchise around, and I think with him at the helm, he's kind of a guy who's not going to look just for the sexy name or the it name or follow the trend, and he's just making the decision he thinks best for the team. So I like it for those reasons. You know, Williams obviously did a great job with them. Unfortunately, when people, you know, will hang on to him forever, remember, you know, if you take out the head, the body will fall. You know, I just don't think from a PR standpoint that we're far enough past the Bounty Gate stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL has even a little influence in that, you know, a little mm-hmm. lead commissioner call saying, hey, with the player safety, you know, the fact that we pretend to care about player safety, we can't do that and have you hire this guy. So, you know, that's so I'm not surprised that he didn't get it, even though he probably earned it as much as any interim coach I've ever seen. But, you know, because of the fact that it's a little bit of an underwhelming hire, it gives me more confidence that it could actually be a hire that works out and that Dorsey probably sees something that's really, you know, that he really thinks is working for the team. So overall, I would say on a 1 to 10, I rated a 6. But on a curve, on a bell curve for the rest of the hires over the last couple of days, it's an A.
Okay, all right. So you're giving them the benefit of the doubt. So I now already know how you feel about the rest of these. So let's flip over to our next team. That's the Denver Broncos. They decided to go the opposite direction, as Joey had mentioned. They decided to go with defensive coordinator Vic Fangio from the Bears instead of going with an offensive-minded coach. So let me just keep this here, Ryan. You know, what do you think about Denver Broncos taking in Vic Fangio and, importantly, hiring Gary Kubiak back as their offensive coordinator?
God, do I love this one. This man went from looking like one of the most badass presidents of a team. John Elway fires his coach that brings him to the Super Bowl, goes and gets another one, you know, swings his money around and gets, you know, Peyton Manning in here, wins the Super Bowl, built this dynamite defense that everyone's, you know, got the nickname calling him the Don, and he's such a great, you know, smart-minded guy. Now he can't find a quarterback, because he sold his soul to get Peyton Manning, and now he can't get the quarterback thing right at all. He hired a defensive coach, an extremely defensive coach, in Vance Joseph, and it didn't work,
right.
And he goes and hires another defensive coach. It's not 1964, John. You have to be able to play offense. This is what I'm talking about too far in the other way. Did Vic Fangio do a great job this year? I mean, obviously, you don't have to take a rocket science thing to come up with that, but, I mean, you just had a defensive coach fail. The defense has not been the problem in Denver for the last 8 years. But, you know, I mean, whatever it was now, 5-6 years, 2013, 2014 was the end of Manning being elite. 2015, they were a defensive team, and since then, they played relatively good defense. They went and got Bradley Chubb. They're a good defensive team. You don't need a defensive guy. I can coach that defense, you know, as long as you go and finally replace the Aqib Talib. But, like, it makes no sense to me. Some of these guys are just like, oh, my God, the egos on the guys calling the shots in the NFL. Like, you try something, it doesn't work, so you try the same thing with a different name? Like, oh, well, this defensive guy didn't work. I'll bring another defensive guy in here. Good luck. Good luck, Broncos. God, if I love watching it. And this is what that fan base deserves for their stupid, incomplete chant when people drop balls. A phony fan base and a crap organization again. Enjoy.
Why? So again, not surprising. Ryan, apparently not a fan of the hiring of Vic Fangio. Let's go flip it back over here. Joey, what are your thoughts on Vic Fangio and the hiring now of the Denver Broncos?
Honestly, I'm with Ryan. This is one of those predictable hires. Every year we get, Oh, this team had the top defense. Let's go get this team's defensive coordinator. Oh, this team had the top offense. Let's go get this guy. I mean, the Bears' defense this year had incredible talent everywhere.
Right.
I mean, anybody could have coached it, like Ryan said. Fangio did have a good run as the 49ers defensive coordinator from 2011 to, 2014 before he went to the Bears. But this is not really an inspiring move from the Broncos. And it makes me beg the question why he wasn't, like, taking head coaching offers before this, because he did have a good run with the Niners, like I said, for three or four seasons there. But it's just so predictable, and I'm not a fan.
And I am a little bit – I do have a raised eyebrow regarding the Gary Kubiak part of it, because, you know, Kubiak is really close with Elway, and he was going to be their offensive coordinator, will clearly take part of that. And Vic Fangio, I think he's fantastic coming from Chicago, but he really could care less about the offense. I mean, he really, really could care less about the offense. So it's a strange move. I agree. Let's move on to the next one because, you know, we want to get to all our other topics here. Green Bay Packers. This one I kind of scratched my head a little bit about, but they hired the Titans offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur. Let me get your thoughts on that, Ryan. What do you think about this hire?
Yeah, another stupid one. Just because he had some proximity to Sean McVay, we're going to anoint this guy the next chosen one and the next hot name in coaching. I think the idea is to get more creative on offense, but everything I've read coming out of Green Bay is that Aaron Rodgers has little interest or zero interest in actually being coached, and he just wants to play, you know, freelance backyard football, so it doesn't really matter who you bring in. You know, secondly, I mean, the third year in a row, I myself, and like a lot of people, took the cheese on Marcus Mariota and the Titans offense, and it disappointed again. So I don't know how you go, you know, it's almost like Vrabel getting the coaching job. You know, Vrabel was the defensive coordinator for the Texans. The Texans got worse last year, and then he gets named the head coach this year. And you just scratch your head and go, like, how does that work? How do you underperform at a job and then get a promotion? But, you know, LaFleur found that, you know, here, obviously. You know, the thing I do want to touch on, because I'm in a super negative space apparently tonight, but, you know, I see a lot of people, our boy Wally down there in the DMV area posting about how amazing it is to think about how, I think it was, three or four years ago, that McVay, LaFleur, and Kyle Shanahan were all on the Redskins coaching staff. Okay, somebody, A, remind me what they won. Also remind me about Kyle Shanahan his offense going invisible in the fourth quarter against the Patriots in the Super Bowl they lost. And someone again, Sean McVay, did they win one last year? I even forget. I can't remember if they had a bye or not. So I'm not in front of a computer, so you'll throw me. At best, he's .500 in the playoffs, but I think he's 0-1, if memory serves right, that they got knocked out in the first round to the Eagles last year. So, but whatever, here or there, you know, 1-1 or 0-1. I mean, what has he proven? So the people, the Sean McVay thing is like, and I like the guy, but God, has it gone too far in that direction of just praising everything he does and touches? That Redskins staff, you didn't win anything. Give me a break.
Yep. All right. Well, we know how you feel about Matt LaFleur. So let's turn this over to Joey. Do you have any different thoughts about the Green Bay Packers hiring Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur as their new head coach?
Nope. I'm with Ryan again on this one. He touched on that Shanahan-McVay connection that I was going to mention. It's just so predictable. Guys trying to find the next this, next that. He talked about the Titans offense really wasn't all that inspiring this year yet again, and somehow an uncoachable Aaron Rodgers is going to fix that for LaFleur. I think this is just kind of a home run type swing for the Packers here. Like, maybe it works out for them and they get the next Sean McVay, but I don't know about this one.
Yep, I'm also very – I also have a lot of concerns about this one. I mean, part of the fact that he wasn't successful in Tennessee could be because of Marcus Mariota and his very, very injury-prone career so far, and the fact that Blaine Gabbert was actually the backup. But certainly, not something I fills me with a ton of confidence. And
he was the offensive coordinator for the Rams the season before, and he wasn't even calling the plays.
Right.
And also, don't forget that he's the same guy who had Derrick Henry riding the bench all year, finally puts him in, and look what Derrick Henry does. So, I don't know. I mean, can the guy actually take a practice and evaluate the guys he has in front of him, because to me it looks like he missed the boat on Derrick Henry all year, putting Deion Lewis out there to, you know, to rush seven times for 15 yards.
Yep. All things that I think are concerning and I think are a big deal. And I also do think that Aaron Rodgers does not want to be coached, and that's part of the reason why they hired him, because it's a soft landing spot for him where he probably doesn't have to do much, and Aaron Rodgers will definitely control that locker room. So it will be interesting to see how that sorts out. I hope it doesn't work out for them, because I hate the Packers. So, hey, it may be just all positive news for me anyway. Let's go on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They hire former Cardinals coach, and I mean former Cardinals coach, Bruce Arians. Interesting move here. They also got Todd Bowles there as their defensive coordinator. To kind of even out that offensive-minded Bruce Arians. So let's start with you, Joey. What do you think about this hiring?
Again, I guess if anyone's going to get the best out of Jameis Winston, it's going to be Bruce Arians. I mean, he is a two-time Coach of the Year when he had that interim run with Chuck Pagano out in Indianapolis and that 2014 season with Arizona. But he's 66 years old. I don't know how much of a long-term plan this is for them. How much longer can Bruce Arians actually coach? He already retired one time. I don't really like this move either.
Okay. All right. And then what do you think here, Ryan? How do you feel about Bruce Arians? Has your thoughts of him changed over the years?
So if you can pull the tape from our podcast from two seasons ago, I hate Bruce Arians.
That's what I was referring to.
Absolute moron. A numbskull, whatever word you want to use, the guy is a boob. And
on top of that,
I traditionally hate retreads, especially old retreads. With all that said, 7 out of 10. This is the best-case scenario for the Bucks. They've been way too conservative. They have a boob, moron, and numbskull of a quarterback. So it's a marriage made in heaven. The best way for Jameis Winston to play is gunslinger. Firing from the hip. He is one of those guys that I don't think is a really cerebral quarterback who reads defenses well. I think, and I don't think that he's, look at his body. He's just not the most athletic guy. But what I think he is really instinctual. So now you give him a coach who kind of coaches the same way. I don't know if Bruce Arians actually knows how to draw X's and O's and can tell you different play schemes and really break down film for you. But what I do know is he's a guy who'll go for two. He'll go for on fourth down in the first quarter on his own side of the field. He's a gunslinger of a coach. So I think that this actually – are the Bucs winning the Super Bowl with this? No. But there's one of two ways this goes. You become a playoff-relevant team. And on both sides of the ball, they're going to be really aggressive, and I think that they're gonna do more than they did. And then hopefully, when he steps aside in a couple of years because he is too old, they're bringing somebody who can kind of build off of that. Or Jameis Winston still sucks, and now that there's no way to resurrect him, and now you just got to go back and restart and end that experiment. Rather being the Dolphins who sit around with Tannehill for the next 10 years saying eventually he'll do it, you'll know now that he's not the guy and you can move on. So I honestly, there's three that I liked and three that I didn't like in the hiring so far, and surprisingly the Arians one is one of the ones I actually like.
Oh, that's crazy. I actually thought you would go the other direction, but I do appreciate the fact that he will finally figure out if Jameis Winston is their guy or not. All right, let's go ahead and go to the last one because we're running short on time already. New York Jets hires Dolphins head coach Adam Gase. What are your thoughts here, Joey, on the Adam Gase hiring?
This is one that Ryan and I can hopefully bond over, as it is the Jets, and I'm sure we both hate them.
Right.
I think this is a perfect Jets move. Adam Gase didn't really have a great tenure down in Miami. A lot of people say, oh, the Dolphins didn't have that much talent, but what the hell do the Jets have that the Dolphins don't, another move that I just kind of scratched my head at. I think he would have done better for himself if he went and took a coordinator job for a year or two maybe and then getting back in the ranks, but I don't like this move from the Jets again. Another negative one, but I can't help it.
All right, and Ryan, what do you think? Do you agree with that? Adam Gase of the Dolphins going to the Jets.
Well, I'm a little bit hurt because you guys weren't keeping score. I said I liked three and I didn't like three, and I've already hated three. So that should tell you that I'm actually a fan of this move. I do think that Gase has been handcuffed. Ryan Tannehill sucks. He's one of the biggest bums I've ever seen in my life. And this guy, again, another one. Mariota's trending in this direction of the, oh, this is going to be his year. This is going to be his year. Well, if it never turns out to be his year, it's just because he sucks. So I think he's been handicapped by that. And, you know, people used to call, you know, there's always these popular storylines that trend in a direction. And it used to be with Gase that he's the quarterback whisperer because he's really done a lot of good things for quarterbacks. And that was the popular storyline. And now it's people are diving in and going, well, I mean, he did it with guys like Peyton Manning who were already established. So how good is he? Well, the good thing is here, yeah, I mean, there's a little development, but Sam Darnold's going to be a good NFL quarterback. So he doesn't need to, like, you know, make something out of nothing like he had to with Tannehill. He's already one up there. I think that defense is super underrated. Leonard Williams, Jamal Adams. I'm going to forget off the top of my head now the other safety they drafted last year. But they built, you know, and they got Darren Lee. Like, they have a nice the Jets team has just been dysfunctional, but they have talent. So I actually think he's a good guy to go in there and get him to 10-6 and make the playoffs next year. Again, not a hire that's going to win him a Super Bowl, but when your baseline's 4-12, it's really hard to go, you know, any worse. So I think this is a hire that brings them, I mean, in my book, definitely puts them second AFC East next year.
Wow, shocking, guys. Everybody, he actually likes a move that the Jets made. I have to say I find this kind of questionable myself, but hey, you know, that's just me. We'll see how it all pans out. And we do have a couple more that are in the horizon. There's Zach Taylor of the Rams, the QB's coach for the Rams, is being looked at as the Bengals head coach. That actually looks like his job to lose, according to Adam Schefter. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out. We'll talk more about that next week if that actually happens. Let's ring the bell. Let's get on to those divisional round playoffs. Okay, guys, just pick one. What is your favorite matchup this weekend, the one you're looking forward to the most? And I'll take out the fact that, you know, if you're – I know you're really interested in watching the Patriots play, Ryan, but – let's take that out of the picture for now. As far as matchup is concerned, is it the Colts and the Chiefs at 4:35 on Saturday, the Cowboys and the Rams, the 8:15 game on Saturday, Chargers and Patriots, 1:05 game on Sunday, or those Eagles at New Orleans against the Saints at 4:40 on Sunday? Let's start with you, Ryan. Which one of those games are you looking forward to the most?
Well, first of all, you disrespectful jerk. You didn't have to take out the Patriot game. I wasn't picking that one anyways. I wish that I had been able to be on the podcast last week that we had done one, because this is not hindsight. I've been saying this quietly in group chats for months with a lot of people, but really kind of went all in on this last weekend. I think the Colts are winning the Super Bowl. I think they're the most balanced and complete built team. And just because they don't have a lot of sexy names, people are forgetting about them. Again, I can post it to Twitter if someone wants to call me out. Otherwise, I'll just be too lazy. But I did tell somebody for weeks ago when the Colts were 5-5, I said if they sneak into the playoffs, I actually think it was a conversation with a Colts fan on Twitter. They can go look it up. I said to him, you have a nice team. I said, I don't know if this is their year. They have a tough schedule down the stretch. But if they get into the playoffs, watch out because they could make a real run. And they went in there last week to Houston and proved again that Houston does not belong. Put them in the category with the Alex Smith Chiefs of don't ever talk to me about again because they're never going to put it together. And they went in there, won that game. They're going to go into Arrowhead, and they're not just going to win this game. They're going to kick the living crap out of the Kansas City Chargers.
Wow.
Quietly, Dontrell Inman has become a good number two receiver for the Colts. They have an offense. T.Y. Hilton is obviously a legit weapon. Marlon Mack has continued to establish himself. And more so and most importantly is that defense that they've finally built. And if you really want to get into it about the next 5 years of the NFL, do you know what has the most cap room going into 2019? It would be the Indianapolis Colts, $123 million. They could go trade for Antonio Brown, sign Le'Veon Bell to whatever he wants, do whatever the hell they want to on the defense, still have, you know, $15 million left in cap space. And it's amazing what happens when you just get rid of Ryan Grigson. So I am super interested in that game, more so than anything, just to show all you offensive heads and stat heads out there that balance still wins championships, and the Colts are going to go in there and kick the hell out of them.
Wow, okay, bold prediction there. That is the game that I'm looking forward to the most. But Joey, any other games there you're looking forward to more than the Colts and the Chiefs?
No, that is my favorite game of the week for sure. I'm not going to go as far as Ryan and put them in the Super Bowl just yet, but they're so hot. They've won 10 of their last 11 games, including the wild card game last week. Not a lot of good teams on that schedule. I didn't see. I looked at it earlier. There weren't a lot of names that stuck out to me, but just in terms of piquing my interest, this game has a lot to it. It's going to be the first Patrick Mahomes playoff game that we've seen. So I'm really interested in how this one turns out.
Yep, and just so for you guys who are bettors out there, the line has moved from -4.5 to -5.5. Somehow Kansas City now with a larger spread to cover. The betting trends, 58% with the spread for the Colts and 42% for the Chiefs. So all those betting sharps are all on board with the prediction that Ryan made that the Colts will win, and this is definitely the game I am most looking forward to as well. So let's go ahead and ring the bell on that, and let's get to DFS, because I wanted to spend more time on this, but we had so much to say, we couldn't actually get to it and spend that much time, but I do want to hit this. It's going to be fun, four games to pick from. Let's start with you, Joey. Give us your picks at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, at tight end, and if you have a defense you like, throw that in there too.
All right, at quarterback, we just talked about him, but I like Andrew Luck. We've seen the Chiefs' defense struggle incredibly bad all season, so I like Luck at quarterback. He's probably one of the more expensive options, but I say go for it. At running back, again, another Colt, Marlon Mack. Last week we saw him go for 148 yards and a touchdown, and again, Chiefs D as the matchup is good for him. At receiver, I like Michael Thomas. The Eagles' secondary is just absolutely depleted talent. And I think the Saints are really motivated, and I think they're going to wipe the floor with the Eagles, honestly. At tight end, I like Gerald Everett, actually. I'm sure he's one of the
Gerald
options
Everett
out there.
Wow. Okay.
He's seen a lot of increased targets his last three games. Besides that San Francisco game, he was either hurt or they sat him out. I didn't read too much into that, but he's been seeing increased targets, and the Cowboys are actually a bottom 10 defense against tight ends. So I think that's a good play there. And if I had to pick a defense, I'd say the Saints. Ryan has talked about it before, but the Saints defense has been really improving throughout the year. And going against Foles and the Eagles, I think they can create some turnovers, maybe score a defensive touchdown for you.
All right. Well, some good picks there. So, Ryan, what are your thoughts? Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and if you have one, a defense.
Yeah, so not to be boring, but I'll start right off with, agreeing right out of the gate. I'm going Andrew Luck. Joey mentioned that he's probably one of the more expensive guys. What I will say is relative, there's eight quarterbacks. He's the third most expensive. That puts him right in the middle pack. So at that price, I'm taking Andrew Luck because I think he's going to be the highest performing quarterback this weekend. So that's my one at quarterback. As far as running backs, I got two guys quickly. Melvin Gordon, the Patriots linebackers suck. They can't stop the run. I know he's banged up, but they expect him to play. I expect him to put up a lot. And the Patriots have traditionally what they do is if whatever they're more afraid of, which I think with the Chargers will be the passing, is they're going to load it up with smaller nickel and dime packages, and they're going to let the Chargers run because they'd rather slow down the game. So I like Melvin Gordon in that sense. On the other side, they're not very good at covering running backs, the Chargers aren't. So I'm taking James White there as my second running back. As far as receivers, I like a stack of Hilton and Inman for all the reasons I said. I also love Mike Thomas for all the reasons Joey said, although I completely disagree. Foles is 10-2 in relief duty for the Eagles. I think I bet against them 11 times in those 12. I'm going the opposite way. They're knocking off the Saints. And they're going to trade Carson Wentz, and they're going to stick with Nick Foles because he's going to win them back-to-back Super Bowls. Well, now he's going to lose to the Colts. But either way, he's going to get there.
Bold prediction, guys.
As far as tight ends, well, that's the thing. I'll say this quickly because I know we're up against it. But, you know, the thing about this year's playoffs that's so good is that, as I've said all year, there's not a single dominant team, which is why the bottom teams had such success in the first round, is because the difference between the top teams and the bottom teams is so marginal, where this is going to be the year that one of those years we see a wild card team win the Super Bowl, just how I honestly feel. As far as tight ends, I think Ebron or Kelce you can't go wrong with. I saw a stat the other day on Twitter, I forget it, but both the Colts and the Chiefs suck at stopping tight ends. So either way, you're good there. And as far as defenses, I think the offense most likely to crap the bed this week is the Cowboys on the road in L.A. So they're the most expensive defense, but a 5-5 for defenses, I mean, the only defense I have any confidence in this week is the Rams.
Okay. Well, I will tell you that those are all very interesting. You've overlapped with a number of things that I thought as well. But I actually think Andrew Luck is a great pick as a quarterback, but I don't mind going to the other side of Patrick Mahomes and just paying up a little bit. It's not that much of a big difference, I don't think, in most sites. Jin, if you want to save some money, I don't actually have a problem with going with Jared Goff. I think that they'll actually throw it well against the Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys' defense is as good as everyone thinks. And on running back, the one guy that I like that you guys haven't mentioned yet is Ezekiel Elliott. I think the entire offense runs through Ezekiel Elliott, and quite frankly, he's going to get all the run he can get because the Cowboys will try to keep the Rams' offense off the field and slow the game down because Dak Prescott is not that good. I mean, I think it's pretty clear he's not that good. At wide receiver, I like all you guys' picks. I will throw in one guy that I think you can put in to save some money, Ted Ginn. Back from injury, he's healthy now. He got plenty of targets when he was out there. He's exceeded the number of targets that Traquan Smith is getting. And quite frankly, he is basically minimum priced in most sites. So you want to save a little money, get a little exposure to that Saints offense. And I do think the Saints will beat the Eagles this week. I don't know if they'll blow them out, but I think they will beat them.
Oh.
But Ted Ginn, and it has nothing to do with the fact that the Eagles beat the Bears. Okay, I'll say that right now. I feel that mm-hmm. the Saints have the ability to move the ball on the Eagles. The problem with Trubisky was that he needs time in the pocket. He's not a polished pocket passer. Drew Brees has much better QB IQ, much better NFL IQ. He can get rid of the ball quickly. The defensive pressure from the Eagles comes from the front four, not from their secondary. I think Joey mentioned that. I think he can pick apart their secondary, so that's why I like Ted Ginn there. And then and he's cheap. He's really, really cheap, so he opens it up. So if you want to play more studs at other levels, tight end, love all the picks you guys had already named, but I want to throw one more out there. Hunter Henry going really cheap, and I think if he gets activated and plays, and all indications point to yes, I think he can gather a couple catches there, a couple long catches there, maybe give you some value for cheap. And on defense, I don't like any of the defenses. I think they're all crap. So I say go with the cheapest defense you can get because I just don't think you're going to get much value out of defense today. But I don't mind going with the two that you both mentioned, the Rams or the Saints. I actually don't mind the Patriots, honestly, this week because I think that Philip Rivers, for all the things he's done, struggles against the Patriots, and he struggles when he travels to Foxborough. So, you know, if you want to play the Patriots, I have no problems with that. All right, guys. Woo! We made it to the end of the episode. I'm going to head and I'll ring the bell on it, and we'll go ahead and blow the air horn on the episode. We made it, guys. All right. So, Ryan, why don't you give us your social media so people can follow you?
Oh, yeah. You can follow me at Ryan Whitfield, N-E as in New England. You two are absolute morons. How many more games do you have to see Nick Foles win in big moments? We talked about the kicker. You talked about what Trubisky needed. You lost because Nick Foles on fourth down hit Golden Tate to put a stake in your season. That's why you lost. That man is nailed when it matters most.
It is not Nick Foles. But anyway, I will go ahead and we'll leave that for another time because we're going to spend another half hour talking about this. But let's go, Joey. Give us your social media so people can follow you.
Yeah, I'm at Joey Libro on all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever you want.
All right.
And thank you for that kind compliment, Ryan.
That is the kindest compliment that you've ever paid anybody. That we're morons. You didn't. So there you go. It was PG-13. That's all I can ask for. All right. You can follow me at FB Garbage Time. We got a lot of football coming up this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. And thanks, as always, for wasting time with us. And until next time, enjoy your NFL week.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Oh, man.